everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR with the folks who are getting it done out there. And it is an amazing Thursday. The week is flying by at a pace that is just almost not comprehensible for me, since I'm headed out to Chicago tomorrow for sure. And so, of course, I don't have enough things done. It's shocking that happens to people. But pull it all together, and we'll see everybody and talk to everybody from Chicago next week. So let's get to our guests. It's been a little while since you've been on, but I can't wait to kind of get the update. And it was a great conversation last time. Deirdre Honor?
Honor. Very close.
Honor.
Yeah.
Next time, I promise. I got half of it right. So, well, welcome back to Drive Through HR. And if you would, introduce yourself to our listeners, and we'll jump right into it.
Sure. I am, I work for a college in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I work in the human resources office here. We primarily work with staff, but we do some faculty work as well. And I've been here at Calvin College for 12 years. Before that, I lived and worked in Southern California in the technology world. So coming from technology, really fast-paced, to education, which there are a number of HR people with whom we interact quite a bit who work or have worked in higher ed, and it's just a little bit of a different pace. So
right. Well, and, you know, it's again, really enjoyed the conversation last time. So, well, let's get right to it. Let's jump into your world. And so what's going on? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, last year when we did this show, it was I think we spent a bit of time talking about Title IX, and that is one of the unique, kind of the uniqueness in higher education, where we have Title IX components of, in terms of equity, and it also, Title IX speaks to sexual harassment, and sexual harassment is becoming more and more. Well, you hear about it more. So recently, since we talked last year, there have been the incidents at Notre Dame. Most recently, just this week, there was a letter from the Department of Justice and the Office of Civil Rights to the president of the University of Montana about the culture of sexual assault and sexual harassment and how it's investigated and how people are taken care of. And also since last year, we had the whole unfortunate situation at Steubenville, and which there was a young woman assaulted after hours. But what became sort of the focus, which we all know who work in it, but the importance of third-party reporting. And in that particular case, there were a number of people who saw the situation, saw what was going on, recorded it on their phone, took pictures, tweeted the pictures. And so the questions that came around back to that are, all of these people saw this, all these students saw this happening, and no one reported it. And so what is it about our culture? What is it about kind of kids as they're growing up that observe this and don't report it? And so part of the educational process, at least that we're seeing, and I think we'll start seeing next year as Title IX is kind of moves into this one person, one process for faculty, staff, and students, is the importance of educating third-party observers. So what to do if you see something, hear something, and how you handle it. And I think last time, too, we talked about 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 women will be the victim of a sexual assault or sexual harassment in college. I think the numbers are, and I don't remember what the numbers are for men, but it's surprisingly high. And so part of it is, you know, the how we have to take care of people institutionally and what that looks like, but also culturally, what have we done to create such an environment where we have to train people, we have to train women to say no. And why aren't we training people to not behave in this way, where it's okay to send tweets and send texts to victims? You know, if you report something, we will hurt you, or we'll attack your reputation, or and that's very consistent in some of these investigations, and it's kind of scary. So for those of you who have kids who are going to college, thinking about college, this is really important stuff.
Well,
it's not the feel-good stuff of the year,
yeah.
Right, Brian?
you know, but that's it's you know it shouldn't be, right? Because the outcomes are sure as hell not feel good. So this is from an HR perspective, from a human being perspective. Is always just, I don't know, I tend to not, you know, I've been more and more involved in trying to understand and help do everything, you know, that I can as the, you know, things come up to, like, violence against women and just elements around that. And was part of, oh my gosh, it was called, I think it was called One Rising. It was an event earlier this year that was around, you know, just stopping violence against women, I mean, globally. And some friends here in Tulsa were involved with that. And it was really amazing because they brought over, like, a friend of mine who helped start a kind of a community center, had an event there that I was trying to help live stream and just do some stuff. And it was just really amazing. They brought 40 people over, and transported them over, just real quick to tell the story. And the mood of when they got there, and they didn't know anybody that was there, and at 40, it was 40 women that were, you know, were in a program that had been part of something abuse had happened. And so everybody that was there, from the time, because they had dancing and they had, you know, they had food and music and everything. So the healing process, once people got there and it went from a very sullen kind of low, you know, just really conservative energy perspective to where within an hour, everybody was dancing and were comfortable and were laughing. Mm-hmm. And it was just that transformation that was probably one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And it was by the community supporting that. And there were, you know, there were probably 80 people there and probably, you know, 9 or 10 guys that were there, you know, husbands or friends or brothers or, you know, whatever fathers were there supporting and just the event and stuff. So it was amazing. And so that kind of helped me just kind of, for me personally, just get involved with having the tough conversations and listening to the tough conversations. Because they are tough, and mm-hmm. not having them is like the single worst thing that I think possibly. You can't do anything. You can't do a whole lot more damage than not acknowledging and having the conversation. So,
mm-hmm. part of
so,
how that
long,
plays
long-winded.
Out. Yeah, but important, because how that plays out, at least in higher education, is how colleges, how institutions respond to the victim. So what Title IX does, and if you ever have a chance to read the Dear Colleague letter that you can find, and I have all those links, it talks about our responsibility to create learning environments that are free from harassment. And sexual harassment that includes sexual assault. So sexual assault, actually the other word, sexual assault is the most severe form of sexual harassment. And we are responsible to create learning and working environments that's free from this. And right now it's not. And so when you think about if you have children and they're going to school, or they're looking at college or they're in college, some of the most important things that you can equip them with is information on what the school's responsibility is if someone comes forward with a claim, if somebody has been harassed. If your dialogue with your children about if you see something, if you hear something, what you do with that information. And so many people in will come and say, well, I have to tell you something, but you can't tell anyone. And how you take that information and say, you know what, I'd love to not be able to do anything with it, but I have to. And equipping these third-party observers who are really going to hear it first, best friends, roommates, suitemates, they're going to hear it or they're going to see it, and then helping them through the process of what to do with that. Also, understanding that the school has to investigate, they have an obligation, and where if you read the information on Notre Dame and the University of Montana, where they would drag out investigations for months. I think one investigation took 11 months, and that's not timely, and that doesn't answer, and it doesn't give support to the victim. You know, also what resources are available for the victim, and both physically and then as, you know, walking alongside the person as they go through the healing process. That's also very important. So these are things that, that parents or guardians or even, you know, family members should know about if you have kids or, you know, nieces, nephews, friends in institutions of higher education. It's really important. And then there are going to be some changes to Title IX, too, that will, well, implementation, kind of how it's defined. So it will bleed over into faculty and staff. And that goes to the one person, one process, where I think we'll see more of that coming out in the next year. So if there's an investigative process for faculty or staff, but a different one for students, they're saying, no, one person, it's one process. And that's also really important, too, that we have an obligation to respond to these inquiries and these, we can't make a judgment. We have to do an investigation. And that's really beneficial. So that's a big thing for us, I think, and it's a big thing for a lot of institutions.
Yeah, one of the things I've noticed in this particular issue is, as you mentioned in your blog, I'm just going through that, one in five women will experience attempted or contemplated sexual assault.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the questions that comes to my mind is whether these people report, you know, if they've gone through that particular experiences, you know, fearing about what will happen the aftermath
yep.
of this particular issue once it is reported.
Yep.
So as you are saying, you know, skipping Title VII training can be a bit a costly mistake. I would think so. So what's your take on emphasizing that training to the, you know, even if it is college or even if it is workplace, emphasizing that training aspect in order to have a better life without any fear?
One of the things that's really interesting as a result of the Clery Act is that we have to, every college and university has to post, we have to post everything. So if there's an assault or harassment or any kind of misdemeanor, or so you can look at a college or university and look at their statistics. And we have to post that. And in the past, even on our application, when we were still a paper application, we had a link or a checkbox that said, if you would like Clery Act statistics, please check here. And we would have to mail them a brochure on our most recent Clery Act statistics. And so part of the training And the training is really interesting because when you think about sexual harassment training, you know, you can see it. People, like, their shoulders sag and their eyes roll, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is mandatory checkbox stuff.
Yeah.
But what becomes more and more important, especially with the demographic that who we serve here, is they're still learning. And so part of it, you can watch the maturity process over the course of a couple years. And the goal really is to help them at each point in the process. So introducing the topic, we're going to give you the raw data. Here's what it is. Here's what you have to know. You've got to report it. It's illegal, da-da-da-da-da. But as the years go on, introducing and educating for nuance. So things that aren't really black and white. Like nobody, very seldom do I hear stories of, well, you do have some where it's physical, you know, like somebody gropes you or they grab you or they do something, and that's really obvious. What's harder to understand is the nuanced stuff, the quid pro quo, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, because it isn't always as obvious. And the path down the slippery slope there is not always as clear. So helping educate through the years of this is what it would look like if it's just black and white. But then moving into the really, the finely nuanced, the, boy, what's the call here? And when you can see both sides. COOPA, which is the College and University Professional HR Group, has a really good training video that was done by a colleague. His name is Kevin Smart at Central Michigan University. And one of the videos, the training videos, is a woman who's talking to one of her male employees and says, hey, I'd like to mentor you. Let's go off campus for dinner. And it's this dialogue of he's uncomfortable because he doesn't think his wife would like it. And she's like, look, if you're not willing to, you know, do this to advance your career, you know, I'll work with somebody else. I'll mentor someone else. And so looking into that finely nuanced, boy, you could see where it could be because it's really that quid pro quo, but you could see where it might not be too, where she's looking for, you know, people to help and flourish and grow in their positions. So that's where the training comes in. And, you know, I don't know. I still think so many places have checkbox mentality, like we've got to do harassment training just like we have to do safety workplace training. You know, it's a checkbox thing. And yeah. I'd really like to see us get to a place where it's embraced as a cultural value.
Yeah, that's true. And more than embracing, what I feel like, you know, we need to avoid that kind of a fear in you know, what's happening to the identity of a person once that has been reported. So that's the biggest fear factor, I think so. What's happening to their identity? Do you think so?
Yes. And I think for anyone who comes forward, it is for those who come forward and it's an assault, the question is, there's always the question about whether it becomes a police matter. Do they have it? Can they do it? Can they go through the process of filing a criminal sexual assault case? And I wish I knew what the numbers were, but I'm quite sure with the experience that I've had that I don't think they're high. Many would like to resolve it on the campus. If you read the Notre Dame story,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The student killed herself rather than go through the process. And I think there are other stories like that. I mean, so how do you address that? I don't have great answers because we are still trying to get our businesses and our institutions to say, hey, this is so bad that we're going to make it a value that it never happens here. We're not there yet. We're still trying to get people to say you've got to comply with the law. And when you say it's a compliance issue, it's checkbox thinking. And then there will always be the tension for the person who is the victim saying at some point it's just going to be me alone, and what's that like? And it's scary.
Yeah, and you said something that I think is just even if I'm the only one that heard this, is important, is the fact that, you know, to go through like sexual harassment training is for me, one side of it is, I don't need to be trained on how to act right, right? So the one side of it is,
yeah,
I get the scenarios, and so it's for me, literally, I can see where. Not so much today, but in my past lives where I've been a little dismissive of the fact that I don't need it, I'm not going to do this, right? There's people that definitely need it, but they're not going to probably pay attention anyway. You know, it's probably, I don't think I'm that alone in maybe that thought process, which wasn't right. I own that. But at the end of the day, the other side of that is learning how, and I hope the training has this type of stuff, is learning how to acknowledge the fact that finding courage and finding a framework and finding an outlet of how you report the things that you see, like somebody stepping up to the plate, when you see somebody misbehaving, that you actually say, dude, knock it off. I mean, what are you doing? And just doesn't, you know what I mean? And that takes a lot of courage, especially in a group setting. And I know I've been there, and I know there's been times that I've said something, because it's really subtle stuff, right? I mean, it's the stuff that gets dismissed, that at the end of the day, one person might blow it off, another person might not say anything and act like they did, somebody are like, whatever, I could care less, and it's a non-issue, but that's not the point. The point is, it's not the proper way to behave. It's a harassing issue. If you change the context and that harassment was around a minority, or it was around somebody that you knew very well, a family member, you know, a child, you would probably respond different. So in context, again, I've said something sometimes, there's other times that I haven't. And my commitment is to make sure that I say something, because that is complete bullshit. And me getting trained on the fact that sometimes somebody just, all it takes is a question to them, like, do you really think that's an appropriate statement?
Mm-hmm.
Or even saying, I heard this one more thing, is I heard one time saying just the comment of, oh, wow. I can't believe you said that. And just putting it back onto them, sometimes that's all that it takes.
Right. One of the ways that we do harassment training here for our staff is also introduce the concept of the third party reporting. So you as staff members, we all have student employees. So you may be the first person who will notice something, who will see that the student employee is not quite on their game, they've missed some work, they're ambivalent. You may be the first person to notice that. So what to look for. And then your obligation, you know, we call it a box. Once you have that box, you don't get to give it back. And what your obligations are to come forward and say, I think something's amiss here. And then as a college, we are responsible then for doing an investigation. And that is the most powerful part of our training, where it's not just about you. It's not just about your conduct, but it's also about our responsibilities here for our students, but also other workers, so that if you see and observe things, then you know what to do with that information and your obligation with what to do with it. So that's also a big part of our training, too.
And I really like I'm a reference point person. So once you have the box, you can't give it up. I mean, I actually like that. I mean, because I just was like, man, you have a responsibility. And you know what? It should be easy, but it's not. Right. It should just be it's inappropriate behavior. Let's get ahead of this. There's no reason it should happen. But it's just not easy. I mean, if we're being honest, it's just there's a lot of pressure. And you just,
if it were easy, we wouldn't have. If it were easy, we wouldn't have 1 in 4 women in this position. I mean, we would be able to just say, "Oh, let's end it and be over." And,
exactly.
And 1 year later, Brian, I'm still talking about this stuff. 1 year later, we have Notre Dame, University of Montana. We have Yale. We have Steubenville. We have it's nuts. It's kind of crazy. So, but I really appreciate you letting me come on here and talk about this stuff, because I don't think this is I don't think a lot of people hear this or know it, and they only know it if they become involved in higher education. And it's an important issue.
Well, and to try and put a little bit of the silver lining is, I'm sure all the schools you just listed out now, they were all there, but luckily now they're top of mind and the product of conversation of there's an issue. Right. So at least now, you know what I mean? Because it's out there. I mean, bottom line
is mm-hmm.
And on your blog, you wrote something that, and I've actually heard this before, is, you know, teaching, you know, and again, it's just not an easy conversation, but, you know, teaching people not to put themselves in really, like, slippery slope situations or, you know, situations that can go bad, you know. Yeah, that's definitely one part of it. But the other part is teaching people not to do it. Teach guys,
right.
You know, teach men to act proper and, mm-hmm. you know, handle, you know, and not be aggressive and not to rape. I mean, that's probably the other thing, that the other side of it is, let's not sugarcoat it, is if people didn't do that, you don't have people putting themselves in bad situations. I mean, that's a gigantic component. And so... it's amazing. This is a real conversation, and it deals with, you're in the people business. We're all in the people business, and this is something that hopefully, if one person hears one thing today, and they can help, you know, put some hope into somebody's life because they're, you know, they just don't think they have that anymore because of an incident, then
mm-hmm.
I think it was our time was very much well spent, to say the least.
We approach every training that way. If one person remembers what we say, it'll be worth it. The other thing, and I don't get too much into this because, but one of the things too that's really important for people to know, and is that impairment removes consent. So if you're drinking, and somebody says yes, they can't say yes if there's alcohol involved. Or if there's any kind of alter of drug use, and so that's something too. When you think about educating people as they go to school, and what that really looks like, schools do a pretty good job in orientation. I know on our campus, our campus safety director speaks to every incoming class about consent and what that looks like, and if you're drinking, and or if you're doing drugs, which are illegal, but any kind of impairment removes consent, and then what that looks like if something happens. And so we try to do that, but it has to be reinforced. Training has to be reinforced to be remembered, mm-hmm. and that's where I think colleges and universities can do a better job, is that ongoing training, in the life of the student.
Well, we definitely really appreciate you coming on, and it's just one of those things that it needs to be, you know, there's lots of subjects that need to be talked about a lot more, and, you know, they're ones that make people uncomfortable, but you know what, they also, those are the subjects that are topics that actually can make the most difference, because they're so tough for people, and they're so deep and so real and so devastating. So hopefully we can, we did a little bit of our part today. So
well, if anybody ever has questions, they're welcome to send me a note. I'm always happy to talk about this, as difficult as it is.
Well, we'll definitely do that, folks. Make sure you connect up, download the show. We'll push it out Have a good rest of the week. We are out of here.
Okay, so guitar. Okay, so let's start with this. What's the name?
Q-tip.
Where are you going? Who are you going with?
Me, Alexander. Left my wallet in the quest.